Welcome back to the show. My name is...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Colton Brobe, let's start from the pension funds, which has been in the news for some time now. The Social Security and National Insurance Trust is this afternoon defending the sustainability of the scheme after reports emerged its reserves could be depleted by 2036. An international labor organization, a Achuria study, reveals NIT may not be able to pay pensions in the next 12 years due to a myriad of issues. Addressing journalists this morning, SNIT Chief Achuary Joseph Boku insists that the ILO work was just a projection and will actually never come to pass. Joseph Boku recounts similar projections from 2011 to 2020, which all projected similar outcomes but never materialized, assuring contributors of SNIT will be able to pay pensions by 2036 and beyond.
So the findings in the report, as I said, it gives you a telescopic view of what is possible to happen, not certainty. It doesn't any way guarantee that what the recommendations are is going to happen at all costs. That's not what it is. So it gives you an idea that based on these assumptions, this is likely to happen, not certainty. So by the law that we operate under, that is Act 766, we are enjoined to obtain an actual valuation report from external actuaries once every 3 years. That is by law. So SNIT does that. And we have been doing this since inception. In fact, this is about the 14th report that has come out since the operations of the SNIT scheme. So every 3 years, we engage the services of external actuaries to produce a report about the scheme's health, about the assets, liabilities, how they are performing, and going into the future, what is likely to happen. So, in the 2020 report, before I get to the 2020 external evaluation report, let me go back to 2011. Like I said, every 3 years, you are supposed to obtain this report from the external actuaries. So we have 2020, the one where we are talking about now, 2017, 14, 11, 8, and so on and so forth. So every 3 years. So let's go back all the way to the 2011 external evaluation reports. So the report says, among other things, that if contribution rates were not increased in the future, the annual expenditure on benefit and administration would exceed income from contributions and the funds from 2019. Coming will just tank. So what it says was that by 2019, we're not going to have enough money to pay benefits. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in 2024, and we have never defaulted in payments of benefits from 2019 up to date. So that is telling you what I said earlier, that it gives you an idea that you have to take some measures to make sure that it doesn't happen. That's exactly what the report is about. So this report is not different from the reports that we've obtained over the years. Like I said, it gives you an idea where you are going as a scheme. And then you take proactive measures to steer off if there is any danger ahead of you. That's exactly what it does.
It says, what the ILO report shows is that there is an urgent need to increase contribution of members of the scheme. Both the employer and the employee currently pays 18.5% of workers' basic salary to the scheme. SNIT says that must go up, and they are working to get the buy-in of stakeholders ahead of a major announcement.
What has run through all these reports is the need for increase in contribution rates. In all the reports, the previous reports, that is what it says, that we need to increase the contribution rate. But ladies and gentlemen, let me mention that it doesn't come easy to increase contribution rates. It means the law has to be changed. We need to engage stakeholders. We have the employers. We have the workers in one as a group. We have our regulator, and then even parliament and government. So it goes through a process, and that process is a bit long. So after Senate has even made some of these proposals, we are now going to engage the MPRA, and then we get the stakeholders like employers, because they are also going to be affected. They are going to pay their part, and then the unions, they are also part, big stakeholders. Before it goes through Attorney General's office, before Parliament, before it gets to the President, before our sense of it, before the changes can be effected, before the implementation. So in order not to wait for all these processes to roll, which will take a couple of years, management of SNIT are already taking measures to make sure that the scheme becomes more sustainable or improve on the sustainability of the scheme without waiting for just the contribution rate to be increased by law. Some of these measures include, and I'm sure you are aware, that any time we had a platform, we let you know what we've been doing in trying to clean up our pension payroll. So since 2018, up to date, the cleaning of the pension payroll of those who are called ghosts, in quotes, who are dead and probably we are not aware and continue to pay them because they are not probably 72 years or 75 years, depending on the scheme in which they belong, we try to remove those people. What happens is that we expect that when you are 72 years or 75, every year you come to us to renew what we call the pension certificate, that you are alive and kicking, and so we should continue paying you. So when it gets to a point you haven't submitted that, we have to deactivate. That is, we take you out of the payroll, put you on the side. And so you come, you show up, that, oh, I'm here. They will pay you all the arrears that probably we have kept. That's what we do. By engaging in that exercise, we saved about 519 million cedis so far. That's been saved. Waiting for them to rise and come for their money. The so-called ghosts. Nobody has shown up yet. But when they show up, we pay them. But nobody has shown up yet. We have introduced mass inspection, what we call the mass registration, mass inspection, and mass contribution collection exercise to increase membership of the scheme and also improve contribution collections. These are two critical factors for the sustainability of the scheme. Let me quickly mention that. SNIT scheme is partially funded. What it means is that the contributions that you and I make into the scheme is not enough to pay for the benefits you are going to enjoy in the future. It's not. It has never been enough. That is how the scheme has been designed. It has been designed such that there is always a gap, which the technical people call that funding gap. So all the monies that you bring in and we place them on investments for the excess, we use them to pay the benefits. If there are excess left, we invest the money and bring the returns to make sure that we pay the contributions and we pay the benefits when they are due. They are not enough. And we have demonstrated this in the past, that even when you invest your contributions, full treasury bill rates, until the beginning, from the time you join the scheme until you retire, and then we want to use that one to pay the benefits that SNIT is going to pay you, you exhaust all your contributions with the interest within 11 years. This is empirical. But when it comes to the government, we've engaged the government to ensure that they are current on monthly contributions. In fact, we are guiding them to be current, and they are, as we speak, I'll get there. So the previously, government had issued bonds to meet arrears, and all coupon payments have been met, the bonds that they have issued. Recently, they issued a bond for 1 billion, and discussions are ongoing for bonds to be issued for the rest of the money that they owe. Monthly contributions have been paid up to January 2024. And you know that you have up to the 14th of the ensuing month to pay the previous month's contributions. So like we are in April, By now, March's contribution should have been paid. But government has paid fully for January 2020 this year. And even part of February has been paid. But I don't, because it's not fully paid, I don't want to dwell on it. But the point I'm making is that if government is late in payment, they are late in about a month and a half payment, if you like. Because we are in April. So they are supposed to be paying in March. But March 1 has not been paid. They fully paid for January. And so we are waiting that any moment, as they are promised, they are going to release the funds to pay on the current contribution, not on the arrears. Governments, I mean, in the previous times, legacy debts exist. That is what we are negotiating with them to get the amounts paid and paid on time so that we can have some funds for investment to make the scheme be more sustainable. We've also adopted annual reconciliation exercise with the Controller and Accountant General Department to determine government's indebtedness to the scheme. There are ongoing engagements with the government to secure settlement of contribution in arrears. That is an ongoing exercise we do every now and then. Like I said, the scheme needs fresh money every time to pay for those who are going on pension, so that when they get on pension, fresh people also come in to support. It's because of this that we embark on this seed initiative, the seed project that you know about. That is the self-employed enrollment drive. That is to bring in all the workers or all Ghana, workers in Ghana who are not covered under the same scheme. Artisans, I mean, carpenters, masons, market women, everybody who works in Ghana here on his own, who is self-employed.
Right, so let me bring in Kwakwa Asante, who attended this news conference. But we welcome.
Thank you.
A lot to unpack. SNES says that they are in good stead.
Yeah.
The ship is afloat.
Yes.
There's no cause for worry. No. But the ILO report casts a different picture.
In fact, how
do they reconcile the two?
Well, they talk about how in the last decade, for instance, there have been several of such reports that have cast such a similar light. But SNED has ended up being able to pay pensioners. For instance, talk about the 2011 actuarial report, which actually predicted that by 2019, SNED was going to go out of business. SNED was not going to be able to pay pensioners.
Mm.
But in 2019, SNED paid without let.
Mm.
And so they believe that this is just like a foreshadowing of what is to come if you don't put your things right.
Right.
And that already, they are trying to put their things right in such a way that by 2036, or this 12-year period that ILO's report gives, by that time, they will have enough resources to be able to pay pensioners. They said, ultimately, there is no cause for alarm. And I don't know when you are going on retirement, but if you are retiring by 2036, you should know that SNED is going to pay you when it gets to the time, and so there should be no cause for concern. Of course, there are pocket of issues that is taking away the sustainability of the scheme.
Of course, and I just want us to do a bit of, yes, government indebtedness. There's the issue of legacy debt and how current government is in terms of its payment to SNET. And the issue about SNET's own investments and whether it is performing poorly or not and what they intend doing to revive them.
So when it comes to legacy debt, it means that successive governments had piled on debts, that they had deducted money or monies from salaries of public sector employees and have failed to remit that amount of money to SNET to do prudent investment with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that amount of money is still laying there huge. And if you're a private company, for instance, you're not paying up to SNED, SNED are going to pile up penalties for you to go and pay.
Right.
So SNED is working. They're trying to negotiate with the government to pay some penalties as soon as practicable. So there is that. And then in terms of government's indebtedness, the current government and what they've been able to pay, government has paid up until January.
2024.
So 2024, January, government has paid all that is due to SNED. That means February is still in arrears, and then March is still in arrears, and they are working to clear that. And when you look at how governments run, normally that is a bit normal because of the time it takes for controller to process all that. Mm. When it comes to the investment of SNED, which has become such a big issue for so many people, SNED is pouring so much money in so much business and they're not getting any good return on investment. Mm. So SNED is talking about how they are trying to revamp all their assets to try and ensure that they get the best of it. For instance, their huge investment in MTN, for instance. They're trying to sit down with MTN to realize how they can get a win-win situation so that they can rack up more money mm-hmm. so that this projection that the International Labour Organization is putting out that by 2036 they'll be unable to pay pension is not something that is going to happen. So ultimately, SNED says they are working across board. They are trying to get everything right so that by 2036, this so-called quote-unquote prophet of doomsday is just not going to happen.
So the assurance here is that?
The assurance is that if you are a contributor to this scheme, go to bed without worry. Mm. 2036, 2050, 2080, SNED says as far as they are concerned, they are viable, they have enough money to pay you, and that even if the investment are doing not so well, by 2036, more members will have been enrolled on. They can take their money and give that to you. You have no cause for concern.
Let's pick some reactions on this matter. And Labour expert Austin Garvin has taken on leadership of the trade union congress, trade unions in the country, accusing them of acting unconcerned as government indebtedness to the pension funds threatens livelihoods and the survivor of the Social Security and National Insurance Trust. Let me bring in Mr. Garvin for a quick reaction to the assurance provided by SNED. Mr. Garvin, it's a pleasure to have you here on the Pulse this afternoon. Also, we've also been hearing from pension experts, Mushad Abdullahi, who also has some concerns and saying that the matters may not be so clear for now. Let me bring him in for a brief chat on this matter. Mr. Abdullahi, good afternoon. Welcome to the Pulse.
Good afternoon, and thank you, and good afternoon to your viewers.
So you heard the SNED's reaction to this ILO report, and they say that, this is not the first time such reports are always available to guide the operations of, pension funds, including SNED, and that it is done as part of the industry practice, and that we shouldn't be worried about it at all, and that there's no cause for worry. What is your initial reaction to the statement that came from SNED this morning?
Okay, so first of all, let me say SNED's response to the actual valuation report regards to the ILO stuff represents a very massive progress as far as transparency in Social Security Administration and governance is concerned.
Right.
Ideally, this is how it's supposed to be. Whenever actual valuations are conducted, there is a need for the Social Security Administration to share what the findings are for the public, at least for the stakeholders, so that we all come to understand that this is the amount of risk involved, this is the magnitude of the situation.
Right.
So when it gets to the point where we have to, increase contribution, or government is going to appeal that, look, we have gotten to the point where there is a need for us to increase contribution, everybody would understand. In any case, of course, they have indicated that they are putting a lot of modalities in place in order to really ensure that the depletion of the reserves has been predicted by the trust value for that to come to happen. Because I have predicted that if nothing happens, that is what it's saying. If nothing happens, if the conditions in the actual valuation report are not carried out, the depletion of the reserves will come in 2035. Let me take you back a little. In 2011, actual valuation was conducted. At the time, there was nothing like a depletion of reserves. We were not told anything like that. The scheme was in very good shape. Then, in 2014, 3 years later, when another actual valuation was conducted, we were told this time the scheme was not sustainable in the medium to long term, and the scheme was due for scheme reserves was due for depletion by 2042. In 2017, when actual valuation was conducted again, we were told that, remember, we warned you in 2014 that your scheme is not sustainable in the long term. You did nothing within that space. Now, the depletion date has come down to 2037. That is from 2042 to 2037. Now, we have another valuation conducted in 2020, and this time it has come down to 2036. Mm. The trend basically is telling you that we are getting very close to a point of depletion. It's just 12 years away. Now, let me make this one very clear. The recent valuation report that we are talking about actually comprised the period 2018 to 2020. The actual state of the scheme within the period 2021 to 2023 is not known. And this is the period that is going to comprise the next actual valuation report.
All right.
We have to look at what actually happened within that piece. So we are going to look at 2021 to 2023. Let me pick a few parameters. Key parameter, dependency ratio. Dependency ratio is looking at the number of contributors who are contributing to support one pensioner.
Mm.
Not long ago, it was 17. As we speak today, it is 7. We now have 7 contributors or 7 workers contributing to support one pensioner. So dependency ratio is declining. That is a key indicator. Let's look at investment returns. As you know, the ability of a public pension system to support, or the ability of investment returns to support the benefit payment function of a public pension scheme is measured by the real returns on investment.
Right.
I'm looking at 2021 to 2023. In 2021, SNIC posted a real return of 8.84%. Now, in 2022 and 2023, look at what happened. Inflation skyrocketed. In 2022, inflation is averaging 31.47%, whereas in 2023, inflation is averaging 40.28%. I am not sure it's going to take a miracle for a scheme to perform for a scheme nominal return to outperform the average inflation that I'm mentioning. So it tells you that for 2022 and 2023, most likely the scheme is going to post negative real returns on their investment.
So the danger is still there. It's still lurking around. What would be your recommendation as we go forward on this matter?
I'm talking about dependency ratio. I've talked about real returns. Let's talk about administrative cost.
Right.
Administrative cost of the scheme has gone very high within that period. We are talking about, we're talking about a lot of recruitment into the Social Security Administration. Unstructured transfers and promotion of staff. The currency program that the scheme is running, SNIC is expanding so much into that program.
Mm.
And I believe there will be a day when we'll be talking about whether what the result that we are getting is actually commensurate with the cost that we are putting in.
Mm.
Administrative cost is going very, very high. Now, you talk about government indebtedness. As I indicated, I'm talking about the period 2021 to 2023. As at 31st December 2021, the total debt the total debt of the scheme was somewhere around 9.64 billion. Out of that, government was owing 97% of that. We have been told that government has made good its indebtedness up to January.
But the legacy debt still exists.
Consecutive. That is what is happening. So if you look at the contribution rate, you look at the government indebtedness, you look at real returns on investment, you look at administrative cost, and you look at dependency ratio, it paints a very big bad picture with regard to what the next actual valuation is going to look like. And remember, the next actual valuation is telling us the state of the scheme as we speak right now.
Mm.
So SNIC response is a reference to December 2022. What has happened within this period? It's good. I mean, I believe if we apply the recommendations as contained in the actual valuation report, definitely we are going to go beyond 2036. But as we speak, nothing is being done. We saw it in 2011 valuation. We saw it in 2014. We saw it in 2017. We have seen it in 2020. I'm not sure we just have to sit back. We are going to the point where we just don't have to sit back as a country. And I keep saying that parliament, labor unions, worker unions, the trade union congress, the media, everybody needs to show interest.
Right.
And of course, I mean, like, everybody needs to show interest in how the scheme is performing, because this is a program that is very, very, very important. It is feeding almost 250,000 pensioners and their families across Ghana. and the future of more than 1.8 million contributors are connected into the program. There is the need for us to keep it under watch. I'm excited that they have given the assurance that the scheme will be sustainable beyond 2036.
That is assurance this afternoon.
If we apply the recommendations as contained in the actual valuation report. And the main recommendation was that there is the need for us to begin to discuss how to increase the contribution rate from the current 11%.
All right.
I'm not very sure whether when Senate did, the press conference, they didn't mention that there is the need for us to improve the funding situation of the scheme.
In fact, what they've said that they want to increase the contribution, that is one of the strategies they want to adapt. They want to also revive some of their investments, reform some of their investment with the hope that they will get the needed returns on such investment. Well, I'd like to say thank you very much, Mr. Moshood Abdullah. He's a pension expert on this matter. And this is a matter that is developing. And I'm sure that on Top Story, Newsnight, Joy Newsfront, we'll have more time to go into Senate's position on this matter, because it affects me and you, especially our pension going forward. But this is the pause here on Joy News. Now let's move away from SNITs also to another matter that is very controversial, the GRA SML contract. The opposition NDC, they've been addressing a news conference demanding the immediate termination of all contracts between the Ghana Revenue Authority and Strategic Mobilization Limited, SML, describing the deal as illegal. They have also demanded that full publication of the KPMG report. They want that the next NDC government will not recognize the deal. This is into excess of a news conference that ended some few minutes ago.
Those agreements. Because this is a country governed by the rule of law. An agreement signed in contravention of the laws of this country cannot stand the test of law in this country. And therefore, any payments made under these illegal agreements must be retrieved. Our courts have had the opportunity times without number to pronounce on this. This is the same reason why the courts asked for the state to retrieve money paid to Woyome, Waterville, Isofoton, and so on, because they were paid under unlawful agreements. Number three, the NDC demands the immediate publication of the full KPMG investigative report on the dealings between SML and the GRA. Mr. President, why are you hiding that report? That report was conducted by KPMG, put together by KPMG after their investigations, at the expense of the Ghanaian taxpayer. KPMG did not do that work for free. They were paid for that work, and they were paid with our monies. So why are you keeping that report like a CIA confidential report in your drawer at your office? What do you have to hide? What are you trying to conceal? Publish that report now. You who once bragged about being an anti-corruption crusader, we want you to live up to that. Publish that report. We want to know what is in the report. Ladies and gentlemen, the NDC also demands the immediate arrest and prosecution of all persons involved in the award of these illegal contracts and the payment of these illegal fees to SML. We wish to reiterate the position of our flag bearer and leader, His Excellency John Dramani Mahama, that the next NDC government will not recognize the illegal contracts entered between SML and the Akufo-Addo government upon assumption into office on the 7th of January 2025. When elected into office, we shall launch credible and transparent investigations into the stinking SML scandal with the aim of retrieving for the state all illegal payments made to SML and ensuring the prosecution of all persons who are complicit in these illegal transactions. You see, while in opposition, sole sourcing was tantamount to corruption, according to the MPP. Procurement breaches were considered an abomination by the MPP. Indeed, since assuming office in 2017, the Akufo-Addo Bawumia MPP government has prosecuted several persons for alleged procurement breaches and other statutory breaches. Some of these people are languishing in jail today. In fact, the chairperson of the Electoral Commission, Charlotte Osei, was removed from office, if you would recall, on grounds of alleged procurement breaches. Ladies and gentlemen, the standard of accountability cannot and will not be any different for members of the ruling New Patriotic Party who are responsible for the sleazy SML deal and other corruption scandals. The NDC is committed to promoting transparency, accountability, and value for money in all government procurements. As our running mate for the 2024 elections, the Venerable Professor Jane Nana Opokuagyeman indicated in her erudite and inspiring speech last Wednesday, anyone who has participated in the plunder of the state will be held accountable. Quote, this is not a threat. It is a promise premised on the wishes of our citizens across various political and social divides and hinged on the principle of accountability, unquote. Thank you very much for your attention, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to...
This is a pause here on Joy News. That's the communication officer with the National Democratic Congress adding their voice to this controversial issue already in the public domain. Now, so what is the reaction of SML regarding the developments on this contract they have with the Ghana Revenue Authority? Yasser Wasapon, the Director of Support Services with SML, and she joins us via Zoom. Good afternoon, Madam Sapon, for your time here on the pause.
Afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Right. So going through the NDC news conference, I mean, the takeaway, they say they are asking for the immediate termination of all the illegal, what they describe as illegal contract entered into between SML and GRA, and also the retrieval of all monies payment made by government to SML under what they describe as illegal agreement with a vocation, a huge financial loss to the state. Some civil society organizations believe that the additional revenue which KPMG indicated should be attributed to SML was due to increase in consumption owing to improvement in economic conditions and not because you had any role to play. Perhaps I can get your initial response to these issues before we get to the other matters of how much you've been paid and why you deserve such payment.
Right. Thank you very much. I think on last Saturday, when I came to News Hour, I made a statement that I think is not very clear. Now, we are talking about loading and tax in the downstream petroleum. When we consume the product, that is when we load the product, it doesn't mean that we declare for tax to be collected. So when NPA loads the product, and the data that NPA gets in the ELDMS is not transmitted to the GRA system, which is ICOM system, then that means that there is revenue leakage, there is revenue loss. That is what SML has come to plug in, so that the money that is going through illegal places will be brought back into the government coffers. So this afternoon, I'm just going to show a comparative data analysis graph that will show to Ghanaians exactly what we are talking about. We are not talking about lifting data. The lifting data is the NPA's data, which is the traded data in the ELDMS. That is not what we are talking about. The need for GRA is to close the gap between the lifting data and then the taxable volume. They are two different volumes. And NPA do not concern itself, sorry, GRA do not concern itself with the loading, because we can load. But when we load and consume and we don't pay the tax, government loses revenue. So there is a data gap comparative analysis that I have done before SML came into the downstream petroleum to support GRA to plug in the data, the revenue leakage. And then after SML came. So if you look at January 2019, we just made 16 months comparison. January 2019, NPA traded volumes, which is the volumes that were loaded for consumption, recorded 417 million liters. If you look at the GRA system or the petroleum holding account, what went for tax was 237 million liters. So if you do the difference between these figures, you have about 179 million liters. We have some points to it, but because of time, I cannot do all the rest of the numbers. So I'll just stay with the initial three figures.
Right.
Now, if you look at the February 19, I don't know whether you can project this for me. The data gap between lifting volumes and taxable volumes is what I'm talking about. Before SML, we started our operation in May. We piloted in May 2020. So we looked at January 2019 to April 2020, the next month before we did our piloting. If you look at the 16 months, just within the 16 months, what happened was that the lifting volumes, which is the consumption volumes that these CSOs and people don't understand, this lifting volume, the loaded volume that was consumed, was 6,387,335,043 liters. Mm. Now, if you look at the tax system, what came to government for tax is 3,180,526,259 liters. The difference between this, which when you apply the tax to it, will generate into revenue. The difference between this is 3,206,808,783 liters. When you convert this, let's say you multiply this with the tax, average tax of 1.44, the money that this amounts to is 4.6 billion Ghana cedis. Mm. We are not talking about old Ghana cedis.
And this is what this claim is, that this is why you have saved the nation.
This is just under 16 months.
Right.
Within 16 months, this is the amount of money government is losing. Before SML, this is the amount of money government is losing. And that is why last Saturday I said that the issue of revenue loss in the downstream petroleum was swiftly becoming a national security issue. When we load the products and we don't pay taxes on them, that is revenue loss. That has got nothing to do with NPA deploying meters at fuel stations. That has got nothing to do with fuel marking or fuel tracking. We are not doing that for GRA. What we are doing is that we are providing audit and assurance for GRA. Mm. We have put in place meters, digitization systems. We are doing real-time monitoring so that GRA can be able to see or monitor the activities of the OMCs in real time. These are the things that we are doing. And as a result of that, I will walk you through the post-SML, how the data is looking now.
Briefly for
so
me. Yeah.
What after April 20, when we started piloting, May 2020, the NPA traded volume, which is the liftings volume or the consumed volume, was 406,379,657 liters. Now, because when we piloted, because we were there, we had put in place some controls. May 2020, the taxable volume, which is the tax volume that government got, was 397,846,713 liters. So now the gap is closing. If you come to June 2020, when we went live, the lifting volume was 450,505,170 liters. Now, if you come to the tax system, so the taxable volume now is 414,597,900 liters. If you go through the data one by one by one by one, you will see that SML, because of the controls we have put in place, now the lifting volumes and then the taxable volumes, they are aligning. That means that the gap between these volumes, that was the leakage, has been closed. So before SML, under the 16-month period, we had lifting volume that was 6.3 billion liters. We had taxable volume that was 3.1 billion liters. Instead of being 6.3 or around that area, that was not the case. But now, if you look at the volumes between these two systems, which is the lifting volumes, which is the NPA traded volume, and then the tax volume, you will see that from May 2020 to August 2021, the same 16 months, you have the total of the lifting volumes at 7,404,385,392 liters. When you check the taxable volume, you will see that the tax is now 7,143,491,507 liters.
Yes, if I can come in briefly on this, on the figures and what you are claiming that you've managed to close the gap in terms of the leakages and what persists right now. The KPMG report, I mean, points to the fact that you partially delivered, and that in terms of revenue accrued to the state, around 2.something billion Ghana cedis. And then you were paid over 1 billion Ghana cedis. Some see this too good to be true, if you like. How do you justify this? You made 2.4 and you took 1 billion. That's like what, 50% of how much you brought the state.
Right. Right. So this, you see, the press statement that we released, we said we do not agree to this. We disagree to this because, first of all, the money that KPMG is saying, we don't agree. And it is because KPMG is using this same lifting or consumption data to assess what we have done, to assess our performance. And we are saying that we didn't come to improve lifting data. That is not the work we came to do. That is why Saturday I said on Newsfile that we don't work with NPA. Yes, NPA are regulators. We work through GRA. They are regulators. So even if you want to go to the depot, whatever you want to do in downstream, you have to go through them. That is the relationship we have with them. Apart from that, the NPA did not employ us. We work for GRA. And what we do for GRA is that we are working to close the gap that has existed and has been an issue between these two institutions. That the product will be loaded, but they will not be accounted for tax. And GRA is supposed to generate income for the country. So it was a huge burden. And at the time when GRA SML came in, this was becoming a national security issue, and we need to pay attention to this.
So you are denying that you've been paid over 1 billion cedis?
Right. The amount that KPMG is saying that we have generated to the
state.
The state. This is what we have in response to that. We are not working with liftings volumes. We are working with taxable volumes. So if I have worked on taxable volumes and I have closed the gap between what was before and what now I am doing, what you need to do is that you need to assess me based on the work I have done. You don't go and use NPS data to assess my performance, because SML does not work to improve NPS data, which is the lifting or consumption data. What we have done is to bridge the gap between the consumption data and the taxable data. Mm. And if you go along that, there is a benchmark that when SML came, GRS set for us. If you go to the Bank of Ghana Petroleum Holding Account, that benchmark brings the performance of SML to over 14 billion Ghana cedis. And that is what we stand by.
And this is between what period?
The reference, sorry.
This is between what period?
So May to December 2023.
All right.
So May 2020. You see, we are talking about this 14 billion we are talking about is not just within a year. We have been in operation since May 2020 till December 2023. So the yearly accruement of this, of our revenue, the gains, the excess gains of the volumes, and then the revenue that it generates to every year, which I want to read a little or show you a little bit so that your listeners can be clear, or they can understand what we are trying to say. What we are saying is that if you go to the Bank of Ghana petroleum revenue holding account for SML, in May to December 2020, the volume gains over a BOG comes to 1.7 billion plus other things. Because of time, I will not be able to mention that. And this 1.7 billion liters translate into revenue gains of 2.5 billion. 2021, the volume gains was 2.7 billion liters. Mm. And this multiplied by the tax components bring you to 3.9 billion Ghana cedis. Mm. If you come to 2022, we did the volume gains was 2.6 billion plus. If you look at the revenue gains, it's 3.8 billion plus. And 2023, from January to December, of course, the volume gains was 3.1 billion liters. And then the money it translates into is 4.5 billion Ghana cedis. Mm. If you calculate all of this, the yearly accumulation of this, which is the 3 and 8 months that we have been in operation as at December 2023, is 14.8 billion. Let me take it again. The extra or the excess gain revenue that we have added to the downstream petroleum tax revenue is 14,844,293,095 Ghana cedis.
And how much have you been paid as a result of this?
So the money that they are saying that KPMG brought here, which is the, let me look at it and quote it properly so I don't get quoted out of context. The one billion Ghana cedi compensation, as quoted by KPMG. Mm. So if you look at what we have done and the compensation that KPMG says we have taken, if we have done 14.8 billion. Mm. We have been compensated for 1 billion plus the rest of it.
1 billion.
And that that quote, the compensation that they have given, they have not included the tax that is being taken from us at source.
Right. Let me, because of time.
Which is 32%. And then the interest, the bank interest that we have to pay, which is also, the tax is 31.5%. And then the bank interest also, 32%, has not been taken. Everyone who knows how this petroleum industry works, the cost involved, because we are using a test-certified product.
Right.
We are bringing in experts.
Just a brief question, so because of time, I can let you go. The key issues that I want you to address. First is about the fact that you may be operating illegally, because according to the NDC and some civil society organizations, PPA has, you have yet to fully satisfy the dictates of the PPA in getting you the green light to operate. There's no issue about your experience in this area and the allegation of possible insider trading, because one of your directors, Mr. Soti, worked with the GRA, resigned, and then this company came up, and all of a sudden, GRA becomes the sole client of this company. In brief, how do you respond to these issues?
They are all inaccurate. And what I want to tell Ghana is that we have been in operation since 2020. This issue, since 2020.
Fargo, the new virtual assistant from Wells Fargo, makes banking faster and easier. Like this.
Fargo, what's my checking account routing number?
And this.
Fargo, turn off my debit card.
And this.
Fargo, what did I spend on groceries last month?
And that's just the beginning. Do you Fargo? You can. In the Wells Fargo mobile app. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/getFargo.
Terms and conditions apply. Your mobile carrier's availability and message and data rates may apply. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. member FDIC.
20 May, but that is for the downstream. We are talking about the downstream, so I will stay with the downstream. Now, this issue of expose and everything happens the minute we sign a contract to go to the upstream. What we have uncovered in the downstream is that, just as I showed you, within 16 months, 4.6 billion Ghana Cedi was going into illegal pockets. And SML has worked so hard to close this gap and gain this revenue under 4 years, 14.8 billion to the revenue, the tax revenue for government. So what this means is that SML is putting in control measures to improve compliance for tax revenue. And those who have been benefiting from these illegal activities, they are stakeholders' risk to us. They have taken entrenched position, brought in people who can talk and do all sort of propaganda so that SML will be taken out and the downstream will go back to business as usual.
I'm somebody who experienced and so-called and the allegation of insider trading involving one of your directors.
All of those things are not... You see, they are not true. They are not true. They are not true. If they are able to provide the evidence, you see, from December 2023, when they did the so-called expose, none of these people who are promoting this propaganda has been able to produce any data to support what they are saying. They don't have any documentation to support what they are saying. Everything they are saying is that, oh, there is a timber company. Oh, there is Mr. Soti said this, Mr. Soti said that. We have presented data. The data that I presented today, the liftings data, you can find it from the NPA BDC's performance report. You can find the other one, the tax revenue, in the Bank of Ghana when the ICOMS was not there. And then when the ICOM came after the May 2020, you can find this data I've presented today in the ICOMS.
Right.
We have proven ourselves. Everything that we needed to give to KPMG, we gave to them. Let these people who are pushing this propaganda come out with their data to support it. If the CSOs, the Bryce Simons and all these people, if they come with liftings data, the point we want to make to them is that what we want to set the record straight is that we are not working for MPA. Right. We are not working to improve lifting or consumption data. So they should take that data down and go and bring the taxable data and let us compare and have a meaningful discussion about this.
I guess this matter is developing, and in the days to follow, we'll have more time to digest into this issue. Thank you very much. Madam Sewa Sapon is in charge of support services with the SML. This is a pause here on Joy News. And let's move on because we still got some areas to cover. The Ghana National Association of Private Schools has threatened to boycott the 2025 Basic Education Certificate Examination over what they describe as exorbitant examination fee charges. The group made a call at the launch of the pre-tertiary manifesto. James Abeji has more in this report.
As the campaign towards the 2024 election heats up, there are major stakeholder consultations between the political parties as well as the various groupings in the country. Today, the Ghana National Association of Private Schools gather here at the Nat Hall to do what they call the pre-tertiary manifesto launch for election 2024, where they raise key concerns that they believe the political parties need to include in their manifesto moving into the 2024 elections. President of NABS raised several concerns, including the call for government to abolish the 30% quota on intake from the private schools.
Scrap the 30% priority placement system. Just as it does for the public school candidates, government must absorb the Basic Education Certificate Examination, BEC, and West African Secondary School Certificate Examination, WASI, registration fees paid by private school candidates. Extend the free senior high school program to private school students. Review the Education Regulatory Bodies Act 2020, Act 1023, to do away with exorbitant regulatory charges by the National Schools Inspectorate Authority, NASIA, National Teaching Council, and National Council for Curriculum and Assessment, NACA. Recognize low-fee private schools as social interventions aimed at educating children in deprived communities and support them as such. Abolish nuisance taxes that are hiking the cost of doing business, and review property rates and business operating permits charged by the assemblies. And above all, fix the country's economy to create a conducive business environment for the operation of private schools.
The group also raised key concerns about what they call exorbitant charges. They are calling on WAEC to revise the fees, or they will boycott the 2025 Basic Education Certificate Examinations.
WASI candidates in private senior high schools have to pay 465 Ghana cedis as WAEC registration fee. Those who have practical and oral language papers to write are required to pay an extra 14 Ghana cedis 50 pesos and 19 Ghana cedis 50 pesos respectively. Over the past 4 years alone, BEC fees have increased from 77 Ghana cedis in 2020 to 214 Ghana cedis 1 peso in 2024, representing a 178% hike in the fees. However, over the same period, private schools have on the average increased their fees by only 45%. And people keep complaining that we are increasing our fees, we are charging a lot. Over the 4 year period, we have increased our fees on the average by only 45% compared to WAEC's 178% increase. Apart from recommending that government absorbs these exam fees for the low-fee private schools and subsidize same for all other private schools, we entreat WAEC to always negotiate with NAPS prior to any fee increment. Let me serve notice that NAPS will lead all pre-tertiary private schools to boycott next year's BEC should WAEC arbitrarily increase the fees. This year, we got the notice late. It would have happened. But we are serving the notice early that from next year, if there's no negotiation, private schools will not be part of next year's BEC. And this is not a mere threat. We are lacing our boots towards that.
The group also registered their disappointment in the absence of their key stakeholders invited to this meeting, including Nana Kwame Bediako, Alan Kojo-Chiremain, Hassan Ayariga, and Bernard Mona, who they were looking forward to present this key concerns to going into the election. Actually,
right, so let's explore this matter further and the danger it portends for students especially. Professor Damasko Tuason is president of NAPS, and he joins me via Zoom. Prof, it's a pleasure to have you here on the poll. So my concern is about the students, your threats. Obviously, those who will be affected will be the students. Have you considered that?
Thank you very much, and a good afternoon to your listeners.
Mm.
Definitely, we will not start making threats without thinking of our major stakeholder, the learners. It's because of the learners that we are in business and serving their interests.
Mm.
You see, it's for the sake of the learners also that we are serving a whole 1 year notice.
Right.
We are hoping that it will not come to the stage where we call for this boycott. So we are serving this notice so that negotiations can begin early towards next year. But if push comes to shove, we have other means in which we will ensure that our learners take terminal exams. Now, take note that WAEC itself need not be the only examination body for students leaving the JHS. There are ways in which we can ensure that there are competitors in the system. So we are considering all options, but believe you me, if it comes to it, we will call WAEC's bluff and then boycott the exams.
So there was no consultation at all?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I mean, we wouldn't be here complaining about it if we had some form of consultation. You see, the point is, there are a number of students, particularly in the rural areas, who pay as little as 50 Ghana cedis per term in the private schools that they attend. These are schools which are located in areas without public schools. So I can tell you that some candidates in the private schools who are unable to afford the 214 Ghana cedis, one peswa plus registration charges in order to register for the BEC, drop out of school. And we believe that no single child should drop out of school because of their inability to pay the charges that WAEC gives us for them to write the exams.
Mm.
So that is why we are in this mood, calling for dialogue to prevent any boycott of the exams next year.
And since you put forth this, has there been any overture from WAEC to sit down with you and address the concerns?
Well, the sentiments were expressed publicly today, and it's probably too early for us to determine what overtures WAEC will extend towards us. But if they even do not, we will extend a hand to them and plead for an opportunity for this negotiation.
The key issue that obviously will come up in this discussion is a kind of relationship that exists between yourself, your group, as a stakeholder, and WAEC in terms of fixing some of these fees, such that some of these matters, they don't come up in the media, but rather are addressed behind the scenes. What kind of relationship exists between WAEC and people like yourself in the management and organization of examinations?
We have very good relations with WAEC indeed. And I do not believe that when issues come to the media front, we are necessarily antagonizing anyone. This is a democracy. So you can always have a conversation on the media front without it getting antagonistic. You know, so we are deliberating with our parents, with the learners, with WAIC itself. And there's nothing wrong with doing it on the media front.
And then to reiterate the point, how much is WAIC charging per student?
For this year, they are charging 214 Ghana cedis, one peso for the BEC. And like I indicated, the GES exam officers who register would also charge an extra amount. And it's not uniform across the country. It ranges between 30 Ghana cedis per child in some instances to about 100 Ghana cedis per child. So you add that on to the 214 Ghana cedis, one peso, and you are probably getting to 300 Ghana cedis.
So for a private
student, at the level of WASI, that's a different conversation. Because there, WAIC could take 465 Ghana cedis, that's this year, and there are some add-on fees for orals, for practicals, and all of that. So that's quite a bit for students
And so for a private student writing a BEC, you will have to at least budget a little over 300 Ghana cedis to be able to write it in the year to come.
Absolutely. Of course, depending, as I said, on the area of the country where the GES officers are also giving their charges. If it's as low as 35 Ghana cedis, which is charged from where I come from, then it might not be up to the 300 Ghana cedis. But in some parts of the country, I'm reliably informed, they pay up to 100 Ghana cedis extra.
Prof, thank you very much. We are hoping that WAIC will reach out to you so that there will be an amicable resolution to this, you know, concern.
Thank you so much for the wonderful opportunity provided us.
Right, so that's the private schools, and they have issues with the new charges that WAIC has announced for the BEC and, of course, the WASI as well. And they say that if WAIC is unable to do anything about it, chances are that will affect those who will be writing the BEC next year. This is a pause. We'll take a short break. When we return, boxing legends Azuma Nelson, we'll talk about it and the other matters.
Sore throat and throat irritation. New Honey Cough. Class Coho away. Manufactured and distributed by NS Chemist Limited. This advert is FDA approved.
A caprenu, eya, a nutrient me too for say, a bibia, oh, tadia, tadia, un san cotonu in Pilu. Name canfu, SCP, amo, SCP, ewa, tema shahel. A whole factory casino, isi. And yen ape, pavement blocks, bros and kasankasa, and a dear dissing dem biaran, oko shahira, SCP, ebemobi. So peso soon dying, napoto go concrete, and never koto cement, yako pabu akopanya. Ofre SCP ya. Can the concrete yam messen the da with quality. Cement wum, umbabe guli kama amount. So whatema, penya, dodowa, a flower, bong, any impatem wun nara. Your office. I was Sprinters Road, Yali Papaya Restaurant, in the Dimfe Dimu.
For SCP was 0501-672-608. And our toll-free number, 0800-626-26.
stories. That's what we tell each other every day. At Joy News, we tell your story. You have a story the world should know about? Tell it to Joy News. We are your home of bold, credible, and fearless journalism. I am Emefa Apau. For the Jubilee House is beginning. Ghana is at a crossroads. It's time again for the people to choose, and the world is watching. We will do this because in a nation where every vote counts, where every voice matters, there's one name you can trust for your election coverage. Joy News, your election headquarters. Our team of seasoned journalists will bring you up-to-the-minute updates, unbiased analysis, and the stories behind the headlines. The election headquarters for an informed electorate. Joy News, independent, fearless, credible.
By the end of the 4 years of my term in office as president, Accra will be the cleanest city in Africa.
Our rivers are choked. Our streets are hoarding it. Our landfills bursting. Our trash bags overflowing. And even the air we breathe carries it. Filth, it is everywhere.
Normally, there is a container here where they put the baller inside. But right now, they haven't brought the container back.
The Filth Exhibition, a Joy News series, presents the alarming state of waste management, sanitation, and refuse left in our communities, presenting a compelling and urgent need for action.
Welcome back to the show. This is Joy News. This is The Pulse. And of course, this is your election headquarters. A new patriotic party flag bearer, Dr. Mamadou Bawumia, says he has performed far better as vice president than his political opponent, Mr. John Dramani Mahama, whilst he occupied the same position, addressing some members of the clergy, imams, and faith-based organizations at the Presbyterian Church at Akropong. Dr. Bawumia hinted that it is important for Ghanaians to endorse him to consolidate the gains made over the past 7 years under the Akufo-Addo administration. So the vice president is touring the Eastern region as part of a nationwide tour for election 2024. Now, in less than 24 hours, the people of Ejoso will finally elect a representative for parliament. Now, as simple as that may sound, it is also a crucial election that political watchers say will set the tone for the December polls. Running up campaigns for its itinerary, including President Akufo-Addo, to whip up votes for the candidate Kwabena Boateng to take the seat on Tuesday. That's tomorrow. However, his main contender, an independent candidate Kwabena Owusu-Aduomi, a former member of parliament for this area, is marching them boot for boot, rounding off his campaign on the high on Sunday. Daniel Aljima observed their final campaigns and has more in this report.
Big wigs of the NPP, including President Akufo-Addo and his vice, Dr. Bamia, were present in the final rally of the party ahead of the by-election. The president mounted the campaign platform with some jabs for the former MP who is attempting a comeback as an independent candidate.
So Abawabe to cabinet minister, Abawabe MP.
You unseated a cabinet minister at Ejoso and found nothing wrong with that. But today, you are everywhere talking. Late Sunday night, the independent candidate was on the grounds to wrap up his campaign. Kwabena Owusu-Aduomi severed ties with the NPP after a declaration to run as an independent candidate in the upcoming by-election. Mr. Aduomi claims the NPP leadership dismissing allegations of being a traitor.
I don't want to say anything bad against the president. He is the president of Ghana. I'm not a traitor. When I lost the primary, did I go independent? I did not. I took it in faith. But when there is an issue that is contrary to the guidelines and regulations of the MPP party, and people raise concerns, if they are good leaders, they should have solved it. If they are saying that I'm a traitor, even while I'm outside, the projects that Kofi Job we are doing, they all favor MPP. Adam is not a traitor. They should learn to be good leaders and solve problems in the party so that the party can stand up. I'm telling you, MPP has no spirit in Ejoso constituency and even in Ashanti region.
In response to the tag of being pushed by the NDC, Mr. Owusu-Aduomi wants the president to show evidence for the reason. He explains his candidature appeals to NDC supporters in the constituency due to his track record.
If the NDC man, if the president is saying MDC man, he has proof. I am not an NDC man because NDC people, they like me. All the works that I did, they are all benefiting. Why have they seen me wearing NDC colors? It's because I said I'm going independent. That's why. The people here who are NDC, they want to vote for Aduomi because Aduomi did projects that benefited them. Now, let me answer what he said, I did it for them. Yes. Even when NDC was in power, I worked for my people. There are some four roads that I requested for from NDC government that was giving me. Four roads. I did it in NDC time. So all the projects that I did, I loved it and I had it. Having said that, I used my own pocket money. But who is government? Government is all of us. The roads were not done by the president's pocket money. It wasn't by the vice president's pocket money. It wasn't by any of them pocket money. It is their revenue, it is their sources, it's the funds of the state that were used to do it. What is important is that if you are happy, you lobby for projects for your people.
Earlier, some supporters of Kwabena Owusu-Aduomi hit the streets of Ejoso to campaign. Six candidates are going into the race slated for Tuesday, but the NPP's Kwabena Boateng and independent candidate Kwabena Owusu-Aduomi are in lead to represent the Ejoso constituency in parliament. For Joy News, Nanaya Ojima, Ejoso.
So, Majority Leader Alexander Afenyomarken has hit hard at Kwabena Osueduo, the independent candidate in the Ejosu parliamentary by-election, for claiming to have championed several developmental projects in the constituency. Mr. Duomin, in this campaign, has been touting his achievement during his tenure as Member of Parliament, asserting to have advocated developmental projects, including several road infrastructure. But the Majority Leader, Alexander Afenyomarken, says previous and current MPP government have led such projects in the constituency and not on an individual basis. He wants such things to be rejected by voters.
Your opponent, the independent candidate, looks so strong in the constituency. Is your party not afraid of it?
I don't think that is correct. I don't think that's the correct.
The polls are out there. Some predicts a bit of...
That's all I can say. Our candidate will win.
You're so optimistic of that.
I think our candidate will win. MPP will win on Tuesday. We'll win on Tuesday.
What makes you so sure?
We'll win on Tuesday. This is our seat. We'll win on Tuesday. You see, whatever developmental project we are seeing here is coming from MPP, not an individual. And I have no doubt on my mind that the people will honor us come Tuesday. It will be done. We'll win. I've done politics for a little while. I know what I'm talking about.
His people too are also sure.
We'll win. I don't want to hear what somebody is saying. I want to tell you what I know to be the fact. God willing, we are winning, okay?
By the end of the 4 years of my term in office as president, Accra will be the cleanest city in Africa.
Our rivers are choked. Our streets are hoarding it. Our landfills bursting. Our trash bags overflowing. And even the air we breathe carries it. Filth, it is everywhere.
Normally, there is a container here where they put the baller inside. But right now, they haven't brought the container back.
The Filth Exhibition, a joint news series, presents the alarming state of waste management, sanitation, and refuse left in our communities, presenting a compelling and urgent need for action.
Welcome back to the Pulse here on Joy News with me, Elton Brobe. Now, boxing legend Azuma Nelson will return to the ring after almost two decades since his last exhibition fight. Azuma may have been world champion three times in the past, but now he's feeling on his return. He said he still has the stamina and the capacity to do this in a different way. Now, he's mounting the ring to empower the youth in the EU, that's European Union Partnership Campaign, dubbed Diplo Rumble. Let's get to understand this better. And of course, in the studio this afternoon, I'm privileged and excited to welcome Azuma Nelson, former three-time world champion, into the studio. Zoom, zoom, you're welcome. Of course. And of course, the EU ambassador to Ghana, His Excellency Ishad Wazali, also joins me in the studio. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks for the invitation.
So you want to put Azuma at this time of his life, at this age, into the ring? Why?
First and foremost, we want to pay tribute to a living legend because Ghana has produced many, many world-class boxers. And I can put myself into the boxing community. Mm-hmm. We are privileged to have one of the best that Ghana has produced.
Mm.
And secondly, this is a friendly game, but we wanted to demonstrate as the European Union that, you know, we are working closely with the government.
Mm-hmm.
We are working closely with the civil society. We are working closely with the business.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to demonstrate that we can embrace as well the youth and speak to them. And I discovered boxing myself in Ghana.
Mm.
And I discovered the energy, the passion of the youth, the passion of the people of Bukom.
Yeah.
And I want to share that. Share what the European Union is with this youth and pay respect and homage, because it's not a challenge, it's a show of friendship and respect to Prof. Mr. Azuma Nelson, Mr. Zoom Zoom, because, as I say, he's a living icon.
I mean, it's very interesting that I'm having to sit in the same studio with Azuma Nelson. I remember... I don't know whether I want to be corrected. Was it your third world belt that you won, the world champion? Is it Fenech? That somebody that fight?
What's the name? I think Sabache Martinez.
Right. So I remember after the fight, they took you around the country to meet with students. I was back then in Sumiane then.
Okay.
So we had to line the streets all the way to the Sumiane airport just to welcome you. And today, it's just a pleasure that I'm having to sit here in the studio to talk about. But what has been the story as you mount the ring again?
Well, I'm so happy when I heard that the ambassador wanted me to be in the ring with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something they've been doing every year, you know, and there's no boxing inside. But this time, they included boxing. So when they come in and told me that, oh, ambassador want to do this with you, you know, I didn't think twice because I just think straight to my people, the Bokum boys and those who are coming up, you know, and I said, no. If these people see me doing it, you know, with this age, you know, it will encourage them, you know, and I can get a chance to talk to them, you know, that whatever they want, they can get it, you know, hard work pace and all these things that I want to share with them, you know. So I said, yes, I'll do it, you know. So I start shaking myself more, you know.
And I've seen a picture of you and your son, you know, preparing yourself ahead of this big day.
That's right. So. It's a privilege that we can come together and do this, so that and I believe it's not going to be first and the last.
Yes, you know? Something that will continually happen.
That will continue, and then, so that's something I think is.
I'll come to ask you about how prepared are you for this exhibition, but Mr. Wazali, what is the rationale behind this? What message are you sending?
First and foremost, every year we are celebrating what we call Europe Day. Mm-hmm. It takes place on the 9th of May. And every year we are expanding, I would say, our exposure. So we wanted to share this celebration with a larger audience.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, we are very big when it comes to support for job creation.
Mm-hmm.
We are working with the government. Last week, together with the president, we have commissioned the largest photovoltaic power station in the country.
Mm-hmm.
We are supporting the country to produce vaccines, so on and so forth. But this message has to reach out a larger audience.
Mm-hmm.
And European Union is about brotherhood.
All right.
European Union is about mutual respect. It is about the support and engagement with the youth. And we believe this time around we can use the platform of boxing, because I attended the All African Games. Mm-hmm. Ghana win big in
of course, we won a lot of gold.
Boxing. Mm. You had an incredible amount of gold medals and the rest, and you have an incredible amount of talent. Mm. And we wanted to put that on the fore and speak directly and work directly with a larger youth mm-hmm. audience.
And you think that boxing can help unearth talents in some of our youth, make them more productive, if you like, and the association with Axuma, the end game is to inspire them that they are capable of also reaching where he got to.
It's exactly about reaching and sharing these values, values of friendship, brotherhood. Professor spoke about the grit, the discipline, the passion, and we are here as enablers as well. We are supporting job creation. We are supporting socio-economic inclusion of youth and women. And this message has to trickle down to everyone. And I personally discovered boxing here in Ghana, and I believed it was a good idea to use the exposure of Axuma Nelson to reach out to a very enthusiastic audience.
So, Zunzum, how prepared are you, and when is this bout happening?
I think Saturday coming.
It's Saturday coming. And then before you continue, just for those who are watching us, if you are watching us, I've got a nice package for you. And on your screen now is number for you to call. I'm just going to pick maximum three calls. If you are able to get through with your call, you win a ticket to go and watch Axuma Nelson in this exhibition bout that will be happening at the Bukum Arena, right?
Yeah.
Of course. So give us a call right now, 1, 2, 3, and then we are done. And I'll give you a ticket to go participate and watch this fantastic event coming up this weekend. But I was asking, how prepared are you for Saturday?
Well, I'm ready. You know, I'm ready to exhibit the experience that I have, you know, to show the boys who come in. You know, this is an exhibition, you know, and it's not a fight. It's an exhibition that people will see the movement of Axuma Nelson, the classic boxing, you know, and so that when they see it, you know, they feel like, oh, I can do it, I can do that, you know. So the book, especially the book on boys, and because, you know, these days, like Excellency saying, work is difficult to get. You know, there's no work.
Right.
You finish your education and then no work. But you can finish the education and you can contact, if you contact Axuma Nelson, you contact a lot of boys. Like, if you are interested in boxing, you just, let me know, you know. And boxing is a big business.
Right.
You know? So football is a big business. You know? So whatever talent that you have and you feel that you can go in, you know. This is the opportunity for you to feel free.
And do it.
And do it.
But who are you facing up with on Saturday? Who is your opponent?
My opponent is right on my right side.
On your right side.
You know? And it's going to be a war.
Mr. Wadali, are you ready for Saturday?
You are never ready.
Yeah.
You are never ready. But you can work to be ready.
Yeah.
But as Prof said, it's a friendly game.
Mm.
But still, you know, there is experience. He's a world champ.
Mm-hmm.
He's a world champ. It's not nothing. Mm-hmm. And I have absolutely no chance, but I will try as well to demonstrate the few moves that I've acquired with some of the best boxing coaches here, because you have huge coaches here. And the idea, it's friendship, it's exhibition, it's entertainment.
Okay.
It will be an evening of entertainment.
All right.
Putting boxing at the fore, paying homage and respect to one of the living icons.
All right.
And sharing a brotherhood message.
I'll come back and then ask, so you generate resources, you generate some money, what would that go into? And then how are you using this upcoming event to encourage the youth to be more productive? I'll come back to that. But let me take you to the voter, which my Frank is joining us via phone. Frank, good afternoon. Welcome to the Pulse.
Thank you for having me.
So I have a legend here in the studio, and I have the EU ambassador to Ghana in the studio. Big people. What have you got to say before I give you the ticket?
Okay, all I want to say is to greet them, and I'm a lover of boxing, so I think this is a good initiative that they are bringing on board. So I pray that whatever they are having to, God will help them to achieve it. And I just wish them all the best. That's all I can say.
Okay, so Frank, just one quick question, I'm just hoping I'm able to get it so that I can then loan you this ticket. How many stars are there on the EU flag, if you know?
How many
flags are there on the EU flag?
Stars.
How many stars are there on the EU? You know, the stars represent countries that make up the European Union. Do you know how many stars are there on the flag?
I can't hear. Hello?
Yeah, so Frank, I was asking. All right, so we've lost Frank. We'll see if we can get somebody else, if you are able to answer. Once you are on, how many stars are there on the EU flag? Mensa from Kaneshi, good afternoon. Mr. Mensa from Kaneshi, good afternoon. All right, so we don't have Mensa yet on the phone. And I mean, I still got two tickets to give away. So call in, I'll ask a very simple question. You can get the opportunity to also speak to Professor Zunzum and Nelson and then the EU ambassador to Ghana. And then you can go watch the bout on Saturday. So Zunzum, so Bukom is headquarters of boxing in Ghana.
Yeah.
Even though I know that when you became world champ, Nana Yao also followed.
Yeah.
And then he came back to Accra. There were guys in Kumasi who
tried. Nana Yao is a Bukom boy.
Okay.
Yeah.
But because he came from the Bono region back then.
Yeah, he came in Bukom before he became world champion.
So really, in terms of harnessing the potential in Bukom, what more can you do to bring that up to that international standard? People are earning hundreds of million dollars for just sometime 2 minutes in the boxing ring.
Yes, yes, as you said, 2 minutes in the boxing ring. But before that 2 minutes,
a lot goes into that.
Yeah, that's the problem. You know, so if they can work hard to get to pass through that hard work to get to the 2 minutes, and then they'll make it. You know, and some people like us, we have a lot of experience that we can share our experience, and if you can take it, you'll be there.
Mm.
You know, because like I said, I mean, nothing good comes easy.
Mm.
You have to work for it.
Yeah.
You know? And if you can't work for it, you can't achieve it. You know. So I want to tell them that, listen, I mean, there's time for everything.
Mm.
And then the Bible says in the Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, that there's time for everything. Mm. You know, whatever you want to do. You know, these days, I don't know, peer pressure on these small boys and girls, the friends, like give you something to smoke, something to drink, something, and destroy your character.
Right.
But I want them to know that anyone who comes, and offer you something like that, that person is the devil for you. So you have to be careful.
Who you associate with. Let me bring in Michael from Adansia Sokwa and Ibrahim. First, Michael. Michael, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Right, so Azuma Nelson is here, the EU ambassador is here. Any question, any comment before I ask you a simple question to give you the ticket?
Oh, I know Azuma to be one of the greatest boxers in the world. But my advice to Azuma is that he should reduce his strength. Otherwise, something will happen to the ambassador.
All right.
Allow Azuma to reduce the strength. But this is part of ambassador.
But Michael,
I think it's going to create a very friendly relationship between Ghana and the United Kingdom. Thank you.
This is actually the EU. And then just want to find, before I give you the ticket, you are from Adansia Sokwa. Are you able to watch it on Saturday?
Oh, yeah, I watch.
So the EU flag, there are some stars on it. Are you able to tell me how many stars on the flag?
I think it's 14.
It's actually 12. You are just two steps away from. So I'll give you the ticket because you're calling all the way from Adanse. And also, there's also Mohammed, right? Mohammed, good afternoon. Ibrahim, good afternoon. Hello, Ibrahim. Good afternoon, Ibrahim. If you can hear me, right. So we've lost Ibrahim. We'll be wrapping up. So, the question again comes to, during your time there was no Buko Marina,
yeah.
And you had to train on very difficult terrain. Yet you emerged from those difficulties to become a world champion. Mm-hmm. Now there's Buko Marina. Things have improved. There's technology. There's a lot more that should make life easy. Do you think that Ghana, we are capable of still producing a world champ?
A lot of world champions that we have in this country, and I can tell you that we have more champions in Ghana than every country in this world. But all we have to have, we need the opportunity, you know, and we can do what we have to do. Like we are talking about Bukom Arena. The boys cannot go there to train. If you go and train, you have to pay. You know, and in fact, the boy wake up this morning, what to eat is difficult. And what money is he going to use to pay and then go to train? You know, so we have to bring the managers out there that can manage them, that can pay the gym, that can take care of them, you know, so that they can be a world champion, because all of us, we passed through managers and before we became world champions. But the boys have to have discipline, you know, so that they can get there.
So, Mr. Wazali, what should spectators expect on Saturday?
The spectators expect to be entertained. So I'm pretty sure they will not be disappointed, because it will be an all-night event with displaying. It's not about...
Is that just between the two of you?
The two of us, we are
creating... You are the main bout.
We are creating the space.
Right.
But I want to insist on the fact that we will display juvenile boxers. We will display future huge champions of this country. And Professor said it, it's about as well recognizing that hard work, grit, a passion, it is pain. Mm. And what I learned personally in my small journey in boxing, you cannot lie.
No.
You cannot lie. At the end of the day, when my coach says, what happens today? You're tired. I say, oh, I got one beer. He said, no, this is not serious.
It is not.
So
is
you
not.
Cannot lie.
Yeah. Let me bring in Ken Note, likely our last caller. Ken, you welcome from Spintex.
Thank you, bro.
You have the floor. Azuma is here. Talk to him. Hello, Kenote. Hello. Kenote from Spintex. If you can hear me, please go on. All right. Ebenezer also joins us. Ebenezer, good afternoon.
Hello?
Yes, Ebenezer, where are you calling us from?
This Ken, I'm still online.
Yes, Ken. Yeah, please go on. Spintex. Yeah, speak to Zunzum.
Zunzum.
Yes, sir.
Happy to see you.
Thank you.
I'm very, very happy for you. Try to still put a smile on the championship upcoming.
Right.
Happy to see Abdullah to showcase what they have for us. This back side. You are still trying to leave your footprint. The mark is still there with people. Thanks so much for your effort. We're going to enjoy you.
Thank you.
Are you available to watch the bout, the exhibition bout on Saturday?
Yes, please.
I'm going to take it for you, but first I want to ask this question. How many countries are within the European Union, if you know the answer?
It's 12.
No, we are way away from that.
That's cool.
It is not 12, it's not 14. How many countries are within the European Union? It's 27. 27. I'll give it to you so that you can still come around and watch. So the stars that make the Europe, the stars on the flag, the stars, every star represents a country on the EU flag. There are 12 of them. Now, there are 27 countries that make up the European Union. Those are facts that you need to get. And then, thank you so much. So, Mr. Ozali, we are wrapping up. Is this something you intend to do every year?
The 9th of May, we are celebrating every year. Mm. And this time around, we wanted to expand our reach and message and to associate directly with a larger youth audience. Mm. And depending on the welcoming of the event, depending on the result, the sales will go for local boxing association, of course. We can envisage something bigger or something more recurrent.
All right. I thought I'd ended the phone calls, but Ben from Tessie just slipped in. So, Ben, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon once again, boss.
Yeah, please go ahead and let's hear you.
Yeah. I'm watching right now a program on Joy News.
Yes, and I have here...
It's about a dipole rumble.
Of course, that is coming this weekend.
Yeah,
this
and I'm even watching the legend, Azuma Nelson. Hello?
Yes, Azuma is here and is listening. Please speak to him.
Oh, Azuma is here.
Yes, he's in the studio with me.
Okay, yeah, he's my legend.
Okay.
I like watching his old video clips. He fought very well.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, so may God bless him. He's our legend. And I'm praying to God that he should be with us. God should add more age to his age.
And the thing is, like, he's going to relive all those fights this Saturday at the Bukum Arena, and I hope you make your way there. We have a free ticket for you. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time. And that will be it for the phone calls here. So, Zuzum, it's Saturday. We all will make our way to the Bukum Arena. And for those who will be coming, what are you telling them?
Well, I'm telling them to come and enjoy themselves, you know, and then... I know big people are coming, you know, and the youth one coming to fight. Mm. I mean, they will see a real boxing, the small, the juvenile. I mean, you see the boxing and you'll be interested to manage one or something. Well, I mean, just let me know.
Mm.
So we are waiting for them. We welcome them all.
And then Mr. Ozali, your final words?
The European Union is not a faraway thing.
Mm.
We are running the extra mile to go and meet with the youth of the country.
Mm. And so Saturday is a platform. Come, have fun, and then, more important, learn more about the EU partnership with Ghana, which, I mean, brings a lot of economic and social benefits to the country. And of course, Zunzum will put the icing on the cake with that bout.
Right.
All right. Well, Professor Azuma Nelson is a former world champ, and of course, Mr. Ozali is the EU ambassador to Ghana. It's my pleasure having you in the studio.
Thank you.
And then,
thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Well, so that's our show for today. For more stories, log on to our website, myjoyonline.com. Accra High Court refuses request to compel President Akufo-Addo to receive anti-LGBT+ bail. The matter will go to the Supreme Court. We're all waiting. Other stories making there is a snit. Snit had a reaction today. Akufo-Addo jabs at just a former MP's independent candidate ahead of the by-election tomorrow. And we'll bring it that to you from morning till when the winner is declared. Until then, you have a good evening. My name is Elton Broby. Whatever you are up to in the hours ahead, I hope it's profitable.